The Jan Price Show, all about movies.
You're listening to The Jan Price Show, all about movies, and today my guests are James A. Woods and Nicholas Wright, and we're going to talk about, it's just an adorable rom-com, and maybe they hate that word, but entitled French Girl. So welcome to the show, Nicholas and James. How are you today?
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. Excited to be talking to you.
I'm excited to be talking to you. I saw this movie at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival, where it had its premiere, I understand.
Oh, great.
So what was that like for you? Because it was a very, you know, again, there was a lot of buzz about this, and everybody's saying, hey, you know, you should go see this. Because we see so many heavy movies, and sometimes it's just nice to have something light and bright and fun and romantic.
Yeah. No, it was a thrill to be a part of that festival, which is such a glorious festival. And, you know, to be included in the lineup of films that they had this year was just very humbling. And it's a festival that reveres filmmakers, and they treated us like royalty. It was just so lovely. And it was actually quite, to be honest, nerve-wracking for us from a filmmaker point of view, just showing American audiences this movie for the first time, because this is a sort of a French-Canadian film with obviously a lot of American sensibility, but we were really curious, how is the French side going to land with American audiences? And thankfully, you know, they seemed to eat it up. We got an extra screening there, which was so beyond anything we could have ever expected. So no, it was truly delightful.
Great. I'm glad that you had that experience. What about for you, James? What was it like for you?
I think it's like Nick said, just to follow up on that, it was really fun to see the comedy that we had essentially, you know, were fingers crossed hoping that would work in Quebec and on the Francophone cinephile side of things, but to actually see American audiences get a laugh out of some of the subtitled jokes kind of let us breathe a sigh of relief. It's a little bit of a tricky thing, comedy in general. I think even more so when you put two languages in the same movie, but through working the script diligently with our wonderful producers and with the cast and kind of finessing it over the years, and then in the edit suite, it was quite fun to finally see those jokes land with an American audience.
How great. And you're right, it's the Santa Barbara International Film Festival is one of the best around, I mean, in the world, really, because you're exactly right. They're so welcoming to the filmmakers here. And it's such an easy festival to get around, too.
Oh, my God. Walking up and down State Street, right?
Right.
It's just like you're in a beautifully manicured theme park. It's just unbelievable. The architecture is so beautiful.
Theme park for adults with food, alcohol, and everything's like a 3-minute walk away from each other. It's an amazing town.
We had a great time. Probably too good a time.
Well, I feel blessed to live here. I've been coming to the film festival for over 15 years, and when I lived in Carmel by the Sea, and then I finally said, hey, I love Santa Barbara. I'm going to move there, and I love it.
Carmel is also beautiful, by the way. Do you only live in beautiful places?
I do.
Fantastic.
Before that, it was Sedona, Arizona, Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I've lived all over New York City.
I've heard of New York. It looks really great on all the postcards.
It is. So. Well, let's just jump into it, because this is the first time you both have directed. Is that correct?
Well, we've directed a lot of sort of shorter form stuff, pilots, TV pilots, sketch comedy stuff, short films, and music videos. And so it's we've been slowly building up to this. And when we did the sequel to Independence Day Resurgence, the sequel of Independence Day Resurgence, you know, we were on set every day with that, and Roland Emmerich was a massive mentor of ours, and so we got front row seats to sort of the highest caliber filmmaking you can do, $160+ million budgets. So we absorbed a lot of lessons from that. It's obviously a different sort of scope of filmmaking, but nevertheless, the basics do carry over, you know. So yeah, this was our first time helming a project of this size and a feature film, and it was we got really lucky, because we, again, with our producers Valerie Dote and Anders Bard, they surrounded us with an incredible team. And we were, I say this a lot, like, and I'm not the first person who says it, I think it was actually probably Scorsese, but 80% of the job of directing is done once you cast your film. Mm-hmm. And we worked really hard to lock in this cast of extraordinarily talented actors. And once we got them, it's really like you call action and then, you know, you nudge them a little left, a little right, but they're in the movie because we love them and they were absolutely perfect for the role. So they made our lives a lot easier, for sure.
And then when you combine that to great technical crews in Montreal, where Nick and I grew up, and that's where we kind of got our start early on as actors. we had the privilege of working with these wonderful technicians of the craft, and there's huge American and European films that go shoot in Montreal. So mix a great cast with a great crew, and then you fingers crossed get a great editor, which we ultimately did, and someone who wrote a fabulous score.
And then you
count your lucky stars.
Yeah, and now let's talk about the cast, because you've got a great cast, as you said, too. Zach Braff, who's just adorable. He's just really adorable in this film. And I think she's stunning. I don't believe I've ever seen her in anything. Evelyn Brochu, who is the lead actress. Mm-hmm. And then we see Vanessa Hudgens in a role that was so different than anything we've ever seen her in before. And she's so good in it. And I love William. Is it Fichtner? Is that how you say it?
Fichtner.
Yeah. I love him. I love it. He's always great, but he's really good in this film. So let's talk about, how did you attract this wonderful cast? James, why don't you tell me? Oh, go ahead.
You take swings, you know, you take swings and you send the script out, and we'd been working on it for a while, and we got it to a place where we thought it was ready. The producers thought it was ready. So we kind of released the proverbial hound, and to our shock and awe, Zach, who was literally on a casting list at the top with just Zach Braff type, we didn't think we really had a chance of ever getting it into his hands, but the tremendous power that is Anders Bard was able to get it to him, and he read it, and the next day we got an email from CAA, a wonderful agency mm-hmm. that represents him, and they said, look, let's do a Zoom, he's super interested, and that kind of got the ball rolling. And Vanessa, same story, like, how could we? There's no way. But once you have a little bit of momentum, other doors start opening, and William Fichtner is just a love story between Nick, myself, and Billy. We did Independence Day together, and just like the bond was formed for life. And so it was a quick phone call, and we're like, look, we got Braff and Hudgens. Can you come play Zach's dad? It's such an integral part of the movie. We'll work it around your schedule. And again, he said yes. So we just got real lucky. And then on the French-Canadian side, it was just as much of a dream come true, in the sense that Evelyn Brochu, as you mentioned, Antoine Olivier Pilon, and Luc Picard, and Charlotte Aubin, the list goes on. But these are all in their own rights movie stars in that territory where, you know, it's a kind of hermetically sealed star system that they have, and they make tremendous films. Xavier Dolan, the Denis Villeneuve, Jean-Marc Vallée, all those tremendous filmmakers that just kind of help shepherd that talent. And so when we sent them the script, the yeses kept pouring in, and we just kept crying. Tears just kept pouring out of our eyeballs. And yeah, and to smash those two cultures together was, you know, a dream come true for us, because it's literally been 20 years we've been talking about getting a story like this up on its feet. Being from Montreal and French Canadians and having French Canadian moms and English dads, it just was one of those miracles that we're not soon going to forget.
And to your point about how everything these days is really sort of intense, a lot of movies that are darker and sort of grittier in their themes and their execution, mm-hmm. I think for the actors to receive a script that was so sort of light and lovely and delightful, and sort of, it was a nice probably experience for them to imagine themselves being a part of a film that isn't so heavy, and to want to be a part of something that will hopefully bring laughter and joy to people, because my goodness, do we ever need it now more than ever.
Yeah, well, it's a fun cast. They're all wonderful in their roles. And again, Evelyn Brochu, she's stunning. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, her hair
stunning.
Should have its own agent. It's insane. Like, I don't even understand how it's so, she's a light, a radiant light.
Yes,
and
she
we're
is.
So blessed that she was in our movie.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing.
Less Down Here, she was on Orphan Black for, I think, as a series regular for a while. But the reason being is that in such high demand in both Quebec and in France that when you're booked, you're booked. But hopefully this movie, not that it would need to open more doors for her, but maybe some bigger phone calls will come in forcing her hand and letting the United States discover just what a pure talent she is.
Yeah, I agree. I look forward to seeing her some other things, because she's radiant. She just radiates off the screen, and her chemistry with Zach is just adorable too. So
yeah,
you know,
they had a great time together. Thankfully, I mean, yeah, because you run the risk when you make these movies, chemistry is so important. Mm-hmm. And we got really lucky that everybody got along. But that's also, like, you know, James and I being actors, I think the one strength that we do have, despite it being our first film, we do know how to set the table and create space that makes everybody really comfortable. So, you know, in pre-production, we spent a lot of time with the cast and had dinners together and just created that sort of company spirit so that we could sort of assure ourselves that the chemistry was going to be there. And so that was a big part of the process for us.
There are so many, and we've seen it over and over again, actors who become directors and they become excellent directors, and it's because they know how to work with actors. And I think that is, you know, it says a whole lot. I don't think I've ever seen a film perhaps that's been directed by an actor that was really terrible. I mean, unless it was a bad script or something, you know.
But
generally it's always been, you know, Clint Eastwood, Robert Redford, I mean, the list goes on and on of, you know, actors who've become directors and excellent directors.
We were quite lucky in that sense, Jen, in that of Zach Braff being a wonderful director,
yes,
in his own right, and also Luc Picard directs beautiful French-Canadian films. And so to have those two people side by side on that set for 2 months that we were filming just gave us so much assurance when we needed it, and proverbial pat on the back being like, hey, trust yourselves, guys. This is really fun. This is yours. If you were stepping in out of the sandbox in a weird way, we'd bring it up, but just keep doing what you're doing, and you can fix anything in the edit suite.
That's true. That's yeah. true. They say the performances are actually yeah. created Our in course. The editing room. For yeah. sure. I want to get into, because you wrote this and you directed it. You co-wrote it and you co-directed it. How is that process for both of you? First, let's talk about the writing process and how you each do that, and who do you separate it? Who does what? Do you just,
yeah,
you
we
know?
Have a, we have kind of a, oddly enough, I mean, again, we discovered we had a natural effortless chemistry together when we were acting together on shows and in films. And so that sort of lent itself to writing. And because we have all the same sort of cultural touchstones, we realize we have kind of a hive mind, and our instincts are always very similar. And if not, they're not similar, they're complementary, you know, and it's the most effortless, organic relationship I could ever imagine. And I'm so grateful to call James my creative brother, because there's really like very little acrimony. There's so much just consistent agreement. And we both recognize that there's a problem and we work through it together. And so we're never the kind of guys, though, when we write, we don't pass off drafts to each other. We're always together creating, forging it together. There's never like, hey, email me your thing, I'll do a pass and I'll send it back. That's just not how we work. And the same goes with directing. Really,
but that goes such a long way in the directing process. When you have forged the script and it's taken years to get it to a certain place, that a lot of the decisions directorially have kind of been made on the page, where as we're writing, we also imagine how we would be shooting this thing or anything that we write, really. So once this finally got, you know, the green light that it was going to get done, the vision had been shared communally between the two of us for so many years that when it comes down to whether it's choosing costumes or locations, and we've already watched the movie together yeah. for so much time, even though only theoretically it's thousands of hours of conversations.
And even if there is this sort of a little disagreement, we'll shoot it two ways and then we'll decide in the edit. And then, like, we have time, we can do it, and it's fine. And why we'd rather have the choice, you know?
And look,
I think over the entire shoot,
say,
I think we had like one or two moments
yeah.
where there was.
I was going to say, even those people, really, we could fit them on three fingers. Yeah. Like, if we're that adamant about a certain situation, scene, line, whatever it is, because we never go there, it clearly there's something wrong with it. That doesn't mean that the film is flawless, and man, we wish we had time, more money. But again, it's like sometimes you just got to go and know that there's always going to be that moment. But yeah, it's been a real blessing to have each other as, like Nick said, artistic brothers.
It's wonderful. So when you're directing, then you both direct the same scene at the same time, or are you, you know, one's directing maybe another segment of the film separately? No. Okay.
No, we're doing it together, hand in hand, and the actors know. It's actually really helpful, because I mean, most directors are doing it on their own. Here, you can cleave us off, and if there's a technical thing that we have to sort of address with our DP, one of us can go and sort of work that out while the actress can talk to the other one, and they know that when they're speaking to either of us, we're speaking as the hive mind. So there's never any contentious sort of disagreements or differing points of view. It was really important to us that we shared a unified vision. I think Zach, and at first that was one of his first questions, initial meeting we had with him. I think every actor, and actually James, I realize this doing all this press, I've never worked with a directing duo. And so I would imagine I'd be a little trepidatious, because you know, it does lend itself to potential conflict and, you
yeah,
know,
both,
devolving on
both
the set.
Zach and Luc Picard both had that same question, our opening meetings with each other. being like, how's that going to work out? But, you know, ultimately, even in our answers, whether it was in person or on Zoom,
we always finished each other's sentences.
Silly. So stupid. How long have you known each other?
20 plus years. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Time. So how did you meet and decide you wanted to do these things together?
This is a really stupid story, but James was a regular on a kids show for a network in Canada called YTV. It was kind of a spoof of Harry Potter called Seriously Weird. And he played like a high school bully to the sort of Harry Potter ersatz character. And I was playing a guest star and I didn't have any scenes with him, but I was kind of like, sort of watching him from afar, being like, just, man, that guy looks like a real dick. I don't want to talk to him. No. And I'm the dick in this situation. And then I never spoke to him. I was just like this arrogant asshole. And then, like 3 months later, I got cast in the lead role of this film called Hatley High. And, I didn't know it, but he was cast as my nemesis in the film. So the first day he comes to set, he pulls up. I look at him come out of his arrogant SUV, and I was like, not this guy. Are you kidding me? No, this is gonna suck. Literally within 5 minutes, we became best friends, and I was eating crow. I was like, what kind of an asshole is like, I'm so, it was a big, it was a humble pie. And we've been so close ever since.
It's a great amazing. Story. It's a great story. And that does happen lots of times when you kind of just when you meet somebody and they kind of just rub you the wrong way. And then when you actually talk to them, then you find, oh, wait a minute. Like
that. And then
that.
You feel like the asshole. Yes. But look at him. He looks like a high school bully. Look at him. Come on. Ew. Ew. That's a compliment.
Well, let's go back to the French girl. We never did tell the audience what the story's about. So either one of you can jump in and tell the audience a little bit what French Girl's all about.
You know, I'll start things off with saying one of the fusing factors of Nick and I's love for one another was that we communally shared our family story, how our parents met, where an English Canadian met a French Canadian and decided to, you know, throw all their chips in and move to Quebec. And so when we met, we're like, we got to do one of those throwback rom-coms that celebrates our parents. You know, it's specific enough and unique enough that we thought it was an interesting take on all the great comedies of the late 90s and early 2000s, whether it's the John Hamburg's Meet the Parents, and the list goes on and on, and throw in a bunch of John Hughes classics in there. And so we set out to write that script, and it centers around a New Yorker, Gordon Kinsky, played by the great Zach Braff, who falls in love with a Quebecoise, our French girl, played by Evelyn Brochu, and she happens to be a chef in Brooklyn. And she gets offered this opportunity to run a fabulous restaurant, one of the, you know, in Quebec City, one of Canada's great cities. Yes. And so she drops the news to Gordon. It's his last day of school. He's an English teacher in eighth grade English. And so his life gets kind of turned upside down when he decides to take the big leap of faith and go up and meet the family and ultimately, you know, ask for a hand. And then chaos ensues, but a lot of love and a lot of laughs. And it's celebrated.
What she neglects to tell him is that the person who's offering her this job is her ex-girlfriend. And so when he finds that out, there's a lot of anxiety and chaos that ensues, and yeah, the jealousy.
The celebration of tradition gets upended by the glorious Vanessa Hudgens playing Ruby. And it was so fun to just see her, you know, sink her teeth into the proverbial bad guy role. And then, yeah, more chaos.
And she's very good. She's very good in this. And stunning. I actually thought maybe Zach Braff was going to fall in love with her and we were going to go that direction.
Well, you know, it's funny. Actually, this has come up a few times and people are like, what? You expect us to root for Zach when we love Vanessa? You know, Vanessa super fans.
Right.
But the one thing, the challenge with all these movies is, look, we know, you know, the audience knows how they're going to end. Like, they're not, you know, there's kind of one way all these movies end. And the one challenge for us was like, how do you sort of convincingly take them down the other path and make them wonder like, oh my God, how is this going to end? And who do I root for? And what, right. You know, so the more confusion and sort of tension we could interject, the better. And that's why Vanessa's so great, because sometimes you're like, man, maybe her and Sophie should get together. What's wrong with, you know, that happens. And so, you know, the more tension, I think, the better in these kinds of films.
Yeah, because it could have gone a number of different ways, you know, mm-hmm. along the way. It's not necessarily predictable. So that was nice for, you know, also.
That we did that.
Yeah. You know, it was always a bit of a challenge because we set out to do, again, like I said, a throwback movie. And so you do want some things to be predictable. But at the same time, you don't want to just be called a copycat.
Right.
But we wanted to make sure that the audience felt safe and kind of knew what they were, you know, what waters they were swimming in. And at the same time, once we'd hit that base coat, we thought, well, I think we get to be, you know, we get to stretch our arms out a little and explore some of the corners that maybe haven't really been seen yet. And hopefully we achieved that.
You did. You did, for sure. How long was this shoot?
About 33 days, something
okay.
like that, I think.
All right.
So, and then we had a few days in New York as well. And yeah, all in all, like 35 days, I guess.
Well, that's a pretty good, I mean, I talk to people, sometimes they have 10 days, you know.
So I think because of the U.S.-Canadian partnership, there was a bit more money in the budget. It wasn't a huge, enormous budget, but we had enough money to pull off what we wanted to do in a fairly decent way. And that's a testament to Paramount Global and Telefilm Canada and Elevation and Outback, all of our partners who believed in the script and gave us enough money to pull it off, including really? getting music that we love.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah, the music.
The soundtrack that we have is a huge, huge mountain to climb.
I think those extra dollars, like Nick said, it's not that much money, but the little extra that we did have compared to some other, you know, Canadian budgeted films. Was those scenes that you don't necessarily see in those, you know, like the car chase, for example. That's something we would have had to rewrite. And there's just a few of those that we were so lucky in. That's where you can
even like shooting at the Chateau Frontenac, which I'm staying in right now. I'm in a room at the Chateau Frontenac as we speak.
I thought maybe that was a bed behind you. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to ask.
Illustrious castle. I'm in the tower of a castle right now.
How lovely is that?
We're having the Quebec City premiere tonight, which is going to be super fun. But there's some stuff that, like James said, you know, on a smaller budget, we probably couldn't have been able to pull off. But
Days. You know, I think if we took away some of those scenes, you know, like the fight, the big fight night and the car chase and a few other ones, then it's doable in 5 weeks. But as soon as you have that kind of stuff, you know, some of those things take days and days to kind of bring to life. So we were real lucky. Yeah.
Well, it's a lovely, fun film. It really is, and the cast is great. It's well written, well directed. You're right; the score is perfect for this movie. And I wish you both much success with it, and good luck with your tonsillectomy, there, James.
That's why I'm not at the Quebec City premiere. I was able to sneak off and get Montreal and Toronto done, but then the doctor's like, "You got to come home. We got to get." Yeah. Gotta get those things out, my friends.
Good luck with
the fort with our tremendous French Canadian cast, and they're gonna have a great night. I'm not jealous at all.
No.
You will be sorely missed. You'll be sorely missed.
Well, good luck with this movie. It's so much fun. It's premiering in the US this
tomorrow,
month.
Friday.
Okay. In March.
March 15th.
I think it's in theaters for a few weeks, and then, but very soon after its theatrical release, it'll be, I believe, on VOD, like starting on the 19th or 20th, and then in a month or so, it'll be on Paramount Plus. So
wonderful!
You'll be able to watch it anywhere, anytime, pretty soon.
Well, search for it because Paramount Plus has some of the best movies. They really do. So if you don't have Paramount Plus, make sure you get it.
Legacy Studio.
Yeah, classic. it's a great studio.
What's
so
that indie film Mission Pop? Possible or input? Mm-hmm. Mission
top,
impossible.
Top pistol? Top pistol,
top,
I think.
Yeah, right? Top shooter.
Top shooter.
All right, good luck with everything. Lovely Thanks, having you man. On the show, and I look forward to having you back with your next project.
I look forward to it.
Can't wait.
Enjoy Santa Barbara.
Thank you. I hope you come back
we'll
with your next
movie. Soon.
We'll be back, yes.
Bye.
We will.
All right, take care. Thanks, have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
To all my wonderful loyal listeners, your love of film allows me to do what I do. If you want to support me, the best way to do that is to hit the subscribe button on the iHeart Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And of course, on YouTube. Subscribing matters. If you are feeling really compelled, I want to hear from you. Have a burning question, comment, or review? Drop me an email at thejampriceshow.com. Thank you for listening.
The Jan Price Show, all about movies.